Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
To start the week, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmid, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Leap 36, Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back with you as well till 6 o'clock with the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. You can be a part of it as well, 414-799-1250. The phone number, live at 105.7fmthefan.com.
Where do you say
Wendy's
my name
fresh,
last?
Never frozen
say
inbox.
My name first.
I said, oh, I mixed it up there in the middle.
Don't,
I apologize.
Yeah, say my name.
Soon
don't
to be named
first.
Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Say it last.
2020 candidacy, Leroy
you know
Butler.
Why would you say it last?
36, because you're the headliner, main event.
Well, that too, but I want them to guess whether or not I'm here on time or not. It's fun.
Well, that's, no doubt, yeah, because it's one of those little lottery tickets, right?
Yeah,
this is a scratch off when you never actually know if you're going to win anything. They didn't give you the precursor where the first four numbers on the scratch ticket are all one number away, then you know you're not winning anything.
I've never won with a scratch off. First time I won $25 with Gary's mom, and she actually gave me $5.
I wouldn't have given you anything.
Why?
That's the Tim Allen
We're
rule.
Family.
That's the Tim Allen rule with the loser fee. Out in Vegas, if you hit anything over $100, you got to give 20%. I don't like that fee at all.
Okay. I love it because I've never won over $100 with Tim Allen in my life.
Are you serious? This dude got me three times in one trip.
Yeah, really? Tim wins over $100, so I make money that way, but I never win.
Oh,
he
gives you $20 every time?
20% of whatever he wins. So if he cashes in for $400, you get 20% of that.
Just for being with him?
Yep.
Being with and playing the same game.
That.
Yeah, but it also bounces back on the reciprocal.
Oh.
Is how you would use that. Yeah.
So if you win, you got to do the same.
I got taxed three times on one trip. Keno was real good to me.
You don't want to give up nothing.
I'm always down to win. Brewers were down to win this week as they win their first series, back-to-back series wins for the first time since May. That's not a good stat, but also in the not good category, Sparky, is what happens in the fourth inning yesterday. Right after Tyler Saladino ties this bad boy up with the all of, I don't know exactly how to put it without getting the FCC mad at me, Tyler Saladino hit a grand slam. Nobody was expecting that.
Saladino.
Then Brandon Woodruff goes down with what is being described as a left oblique injury for Woody, and it is going to be a huge loss for the Milwaukee Brewers here.
I thought the world was ending, so I sought shelter after Saladino hit the shot. I thought this was officially how the world was going to end on a Saladino grand slam. I was very concerned for my well-being. Brandon Woodruff is your best pitcher. You can sit here and debate Zach Davies versus Brandon Woodruff, but to me, Woodruff is your best pitcher.
Yeah, all-star.
So now you have a situation where he throws a pitch, he says he feels a grip. At that point, it should have been, can somebody please come out here and talk to me because I just felt something. Instead, he decided, oh, I'm okay. I'll do it again. Throws the next pitch, now it really hurts him, and now he decides, now I need to come out. And
well, then you saw him shake off after he throws the pitch and kind of wiggles around, and then it was easy for them to find out.
What could have been possibly saved had he just called the trainer out there the first time it grabbed and they got him out of the game? Because now they're going to do an MRI. We got to wait and see what the damage is, all that fun stuff. But, Gary, we were talking about it before the show, and you think because he's a pitcher, this could be him out for a while.
Yeah, I think you look at do they call it oblique?
An oblique muscle, yes.
Yeah. Very popular in the last several years.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, see, back in the day, you know, we played with this kind of stuff. It wasn't all, you know, just go in there.
Yeah, self-check. I'm good.
You put a little salve on it, Leroy. Yeah, I know they know about salve. You put a little salve
on it. Some Epsom salt.
And then you go head on and you go do and now you're right, it's a popular injury. For me, I think this is a 30-day injury for a pitcher because you figure most of their motion is coming from all, you know, within their midsection. And so I think this
the
is
torso.
Gonna be, yeah, torso. So it's going to be, if you want him right, it's 30 days. Now, can he be back in 2 weeks? Yeah. But it's always going to be like a little twinge. So I think if you want him right, it's a 30-day injury all day long.
And it was tough to see Woody because he wasn't himself giving up the four runs in the three innings. And you could tell that he didn't have necessarily his best stuff, but he was also gassing into the hundreds. I mean, he right. was topping out at triple digits there in the first three innings. So you're looking at seeing the velocity that he was throwing with was right. almost as good as ever.
Right. It was. And listen, it's just unfortunate because all of a sudden you felt the Brewers – at least for me, I felt the Brewers had a little momentum going right here in the second half. Didn't start out great, but you got your best pitcher going, and that's what you expect to happen with him, you know, coming and close it down for you and get some wins. But I just think, you know, if you ask me how big of a loss it is, I think it's a huge loss because wouldn't you say he's your ace?
Yep. Absolutely. And he was becoming an ace around Major League Baseball
yeah.
with what he had been doing this year so far and some change. You look at other pitchers in the division, Cole Hamels is another one that would also have a likelihood that you've seen. He's on the DL right now, or IL, with an oblique strain. He's been out 3 weeks. He's missed upwards of 2 months with an injury like this. How big of a loss is it for you, Sparky?
Yeah, but he's old.
He is older. Yes, yeah, you're right. He is 35 years old.
What a look kid.
But for a 26-year-old, are you more banking on the fact that he'll be able to resurge after the injury, or are you taking it more cautiously than you would with an aging veteran like Cole Hamels?
This is the thing. If he's out for a month, they're in a lot of trouble.
That's per Gary. Now, we haven't released our
information. He just used Cole Hamels, though, as an example. I mean, if he's out for a month, that means we're now in the middle of August. Trade deadline has come and go at that point. Your best option is Trey Supa. That's your best option, and he's in AA. That's your best option. Now, under Doug Melvin, they're not going to get a AA pitcher. Will David Stearns go down there to get a AA pitcher? I don't know. But as far as guys having success and what they're looking like, he's probably the best option you have to put up here. Don't know what he's going to look like in a major league uniform and how he's going to perform at this level with everybody looking at him, because definitely wasn't expecting him to call up at this point. But that's what you have. Corbin Burns, he's hurt. So even if he wasn't hurt, that still wouldn't be a great option considering how bad he's been all year.
And you've seen Aaron Wilkerson pop up yes. from time to time. But
no,
man, you might well see you ride this Freddy Peralta thing out, man. He thought he'd throw the ball real good, dog.
Right. But okay, but baby Tausch, explain to him how the role has developed for him in the bullpen now.
It's difficult because he is at so close to being a dynamic shutdown late inning closer that they finally threw him in a back-to-back yesterday. First time in his career
going
back to back.
Things change.
Adrian Hauser just got bounced back into the bullpen. Yep. He would be the closest option that's already stretched out at this point to replace Woody in the rotation.
It's probably what they'll do.
So now you guys score 15 runs a game. That's all.
That's not happening.
How big of a loss is it to you, Leroy?
Well, again, he was your all-star. And I just think in the clubhouse, that's where it's going to react the most, because guys were really relying on a guy. I mean, he was on the pace to win 20 games at least. And, you know, and each guy's different. I remember Braun had an oblique. He was out for a minute, I think 10 or 15 days, came back swinging the ball well. If this was Josh Hader, a violent throwing pitcher, I would say he may be out for a while. And then at the time, I mean, Woodruff, like you say, he can top out at, you know, three digits, but I think for the most part, he's not that type of violent throwing pitcher to where he can stay a long time. Now, to the fact of coming and getting him, if that was the case, they would spend – Major League Baseball will be upset how many times you go to the mound every time you see a guy grasp, make a face, or do something. But sometimes as athletes, you have to save us from us. And you just can go – hey, listen, you all right?
Mm-hmm.
I know you waved me off, but I got to come out here and see. Because you're not like one of the bullpen guys. You're our guy. So, hey, what's going on? Let me take one more pitch. Nah, let's shut it down. He may have already done something. But I'm also going to wait until the MRI, which they're going to do with this doctor. I can't remember his name.
But no, Dr. Rausch.
Yeah, him too, William. Because sometimes he can say, you know what? A strain, let's be honest, a strain is a tear, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a word they found somewhere to say that it's not that bad.
Sure.
A tear is a tear, you know. But at the same time, he may heal a little bit different. Now you got to send him back. But Garrett ultimately may be right, because when he does come back in a week or two, you got to send him down to get him back up to speed. That may take another week or two. So if it's going to take that long, it's ultimately, this guy can't be gone 30 days if you're trying to stay in contention, if he's your best guy. So I don't know if you rush him back or not. I'm just hoping and praying that it's not as bad as we think.
Gary, so you're saying 30 days. Are you saying 30 days till you start throwing again, or 30 days till you believe he could be back on a big league
30
mound,
days until he comes back.
Okay.
Until he comes back with the Brewers. Yeah, Leroy's laid out the process. That would be the process.
Yep.
You know, you get him back, you go on a minor league stint, and then then you're going to check, is there a setback or not? Or
right, because that's a week and a half, two-week thing. So I was thinking, if you're saying 30 days he starts throwing
again,
you're in a lot bigger issue. Also,
they're going to rush him back a little
bit. Also, I think Gary's right. Also, because he's a good hitter, and that's where your oblique coming from. You know,
it's all the power on the
all
torso.
That. So when he comes back from the pitching, okay, can you bat? Otherwise, the philosophy changed now. Mm-hmm. Do you want him to bat at all? He's not going to go that many innings.
Well, he's going to stand up there and watch.
Unless you play the teams in the other side of the American League, you could just bring people in for him. Other than that, I just want to hear from the people, to see if people are panicking, because I think for social media, some people lost their mind and some people are like, hey, listen, it's baseball, it's sports. You just have to build those kind of things, and this is going to force
David
Stern to go out and get somebody. I wanted to do it anyway.
414-799-1250. How big of a loss is Brandon Woodruff to you? Dan is in Hale's Corners. He's up on the Fan. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dan.
Good.
You know, it's a big loss. And just let me tell you, I played some pro ball in the independent league.
All right.
And I pitched in the independent league, and I had the exact same injury where it grabbed like that, same movement, pitching. I was not pitching until 6 weeks later, and I didn't feel 100% healthy for 8 weeks. And for the first 30 days, you couldn't do nothing. There's nothing you can. You can't work out, maybe run a little bit, but any twisting like that, you just pull it again. So I don't see him. I don't see him coming back to pitch, for at least 6 weeks. And here's the other thing. When I was playing independent league, I didn't have to hit. There was no hitting for the pitcher independent league. So this guy's got to go up there and hit in the major league.
Okay, now how good were you? We're going to compare your stats to Woodruff. How good were you?
Well, I was nothing like that. The independent league's probably equivalent to maybe A-ball.
Well, then let's just know what the ERA was, and we'll tell you what that was.
Yeah, flat. How good? Yeah, what's going on?
Like a 3.5.
Oh, okay. Three and a half. That works,
all right,
Dan.
All right,
Dan.
Right.
I see you, Dan. Hale's Corners.
Finest.
3.5 ERA. That works out. That's a good showing for the HC. I like that as well. But Sparky, for
thanks
6 weeks,
Dan.
However long 6 weeks,
that's 60 days, man.
Is in terms of
it's the end of August.
This Brewers run, it's about the end of August, but on the positive end of it, that could be like the pickup that you can't make because you don't have the August 31st deadline, correct?
Won't matter.
You're acquiring Brandon Woodruff.
Won't matter. It'll be over by that point.
It'll be over. You just can't gloss over
this race will be over by that point. If he's out 6 weeks, they're screwed. I mean, they're
done.
If they do an MRI and they come back and they go, he's back beginning of September.
Internal bleeding and all that.
Well, don't say that. I mean, I don't want that. But
pussy.
If it's beginning of September that he's back, and we'll talk more about this at 4 o'clock, you got to reevaluate really how much you want to get in on this at the trade deadline. Like I said, 4 o'clock.
How much you need to get into?
Well, you got
to
start selling now, right?
Now you just have a huge gaping hole on top of all the other holes you already had in this thing.
Sell, Mortimer, sell!
It could be a punch to the gut. It could be a knockout blow for this team if he's out like 6 weeks or something like that, because we've talked about all the options that they have. And obviously, we all know one thing, right? They're way more confident in their guys to back up Woodruff than probably most fans are outside of Billy and Tim. But everybody else is probably like, dude, what are you going to do? You don't have anybody. You don't have that guy to come in and do what Woodruff just got done doing. And every time you talk about a successful baseball team, most have that pitcher that can stop a losing streak, right?
Stopper. Chase Anderson made 266 in July.
Chase Anderson's pitch really well in July.
Yeah,
absolutely, right?
There's your guy right there.
No doubt. Yeah, he's had a good month. So, I mean, that's the thing is how you look at it from their standpoint. And I don't know.
Chris Hook.
I think his name is Chris Hook.
That's it.
Yeah, Hookie.
Yeah, thanks to him, I'm getting Chase Anderson ready. He prepared for this.
Brett tweets at 105.7 FM, The Fan, in capital letters, huge loss, obviously. Brewers could go with a four-man rotation until August 27th, with only needing two bullpen days in that entire time. Unless they trade for a starter, I'd do that and then use Woody's spot to get Travis Shaw back up on the Major League roster.
Okay.
Let Craig Counsell make the playing time work.
414-799-1250. How big of a loss is Brandon Woodruff for the Milwaukee Brewers? MRI is being done today. We'll talk to Adam McAlvey coming up at 448. Hopefully he'll have the latest from Craig Counsell down at Miller Park before the Brewers take on the Cincinnati Reds tonight. Sparky's boy Derek Johnson back with his shining superstar Sonny Gray. Opposite tonight, as Leap said, there you go. He's been pitching much better. Chase Anderson tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. I like that matchup right now, as Chase has been throwing the ball very, very, very well. Not as well as John Young's doing at making people money.
That's the other thing. Don't you think Derek Johnson has a little inside info on kind of what these guys are bringing to the table for the Brewers pitching staff
Of course he does.
So, I mean, it's nice that Chase has pitched really well, but now you have to go against somebody that's got a little bit of intel, too.
How's it work for them in the win-loss record?
It really has. I mean,
he needs to let this Derek Johnson thing go, though.
No, but again, well, they don't face the Brewers all year. I mean, that's the thing. But when you do get to face them a little bit, that does help. Anytime you have a former pitching coach of another team, you're going to have a little bit of intel on those starting pitchers and relief pitchers when that guy's on your team. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based, family-run company? Of course you would. A company that's been in business for over 27 years. That's older than Baby Tosh. Well, you're in luck. Young Express, the company we talk about so much, is growing, currently looking to add to their dispatch department and sales departments. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go and apply online at youngexpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Let's talk about that sales department and what Young Express is looking for. High degree of integrity. Willing to prospect new business via phone, email, social selling, reliable transportation, high school diploma or equivalent. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. Those are some of the things they're looking for. What you can expect, 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses, and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k, and a company that cares about you as an individual. Plus, you get a cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotion materials provided to you by the company. And my favorite, a fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Always want that in any job you're at, right? Apply for the position that fits your passion at youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
Wendy's Big Show, full strength on a Monday here on The Fan.
We felt it on a pitch. We saw it and got him out of the game. So with no real idea on the severity of it right now. It is, you know, it's enough where we definitely miss a start, so.
So that means Brandon Woodruff to the injured list. Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. Bill Baby Tao Schmidt alongside Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Bagger running back Gary Ellerson, as well as Leap 36 Leroy Butler here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Right there, he says it. We saw it on the second pitch, and it went. And at that point, we go in and get Woody out of there. At first, I thought maybe he was a little bit lightheaded, maybe a little something different. The oblique is one of the things, though, that was of major concern, if that was the issue, guys, that it would be an oblique issue. And that is about a 4 to 6 week injury right off the bat for Woody.
Yeah, they're in serious trouble already. I got people texting me. A-Bomb just texted me our former intern here and said, hey, Willie Peralta just got released. Go get him. Put him back in the rotation. Ha, ha, ha. It's not funny. Got a tweet here from Tim, who says, Woodruff is having a great year, but not like our team isn't prepared to handle having to overcome bad starting pitching efforts. That's been our story all season long. That's a good point. I can't argue with that. Chris tweets at The Fan in regards to the guy that said to bring up Travis Shaw. That silliness was worth a retweet. Bring up Shaw and put him where? Second or third base? Oh, wait a minute. Given the recent Craig Counsell decisions, that probably would fit perfectly with us right now. That is Chris. Doesn't seem like there's a lot of upbeat, happy people concerning the Brewers right now, even though they just came off of taking out an Arizona Diamondbacks team. That look, when you're going into this series, I think you would have been happy just getting two wins in this series, and they didn't that and more.
Well, and the Diamondbacks right on your tail, and the way you won these games over the weekend, I don't think it can be understated of what the weekend was. I mean, you outscored them by 16 runs in the last three innings of each ballgame.
Come from behind baseball.
To be able to come back from behind and then also tack on runs in the last two games where you're not winning one-run and two-run games and probably having to use Josh Hader in that game on Saturday night, Sparky, for two innings.
Right.
When you're able to tack on in that ninth inning was huge. And you add more and more runs to the later parts of the inning. The lineup continually looks more filled out. Maybe when Tyler Saladino's not in there, and God bless him after the home run yesterday, he can play again today.
How much better is his record at Kesson here and never got sent down?
Maybe two or three wins.
How much better could it have been? Right. That means they would have been tied for first right now.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to continue to look back at that. If they miss the playoffs, and if it's close, if they miss the playoffs by six or seven games, then it doesn't matter. But if they miss the playoffs by two or three games, then you're going to have to look back at that Kesson Hiram month that he was out and go, dude, y'all screwed this up. Like, no, you should have kept him up.
No, you are a typical fan, which is great. And yeah, I know, which is great.
They're going to need an awful run to do that.
Well, let's just speak to Sparky real quick. Sparky's a typical fan because there are mistakes made all the time in sports. I mean, all the time. There's holding calls. There's interference. There's bad pitches. There's walks. There's home runs.
Leap got on me for forgetting it when I was getting on J.R. Smith for forgetting what time it was in the game.
I missed a grounder. I dropped the ball. I mean, it's not all of that. There's just so much that goes into sports where people want to say it's never really one thing. It just isn't. I mean, because you like Kesson Hiram and you really, because that's what you wanted to happen, but there's just so much to go into the game of sport where you can just look by, that's the game. That's why you didn't get in.
I believe in playing the best players. And when you don't do that, yes, I'm going to
get. There's so much human error by players, by coaches, that all adds up to you would be the reason why you didn't lose a game. Now, sometimes we've seen this in sports where it's a big stage, and let's just say it's a ninth inning, right? And it's 5-5, you in the World Series, this is a game, this is it. You drop that ball, the winning run comes in, game's over, and they point at who? That player.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. But if you talk to some of the players in the locker room, yeah, they look at him, they look at him, they look at him. But the guys that your real teammates are going to say what?
It wasn't that.
There wasn't that.
Look at everybody after the Chicago Bears lose the Eagles when the kid misses the field goal, right? At the end of the game, same reason there.
And then he got cut.
Yeah. Yeah, he got cut.
Brandon Bostic, too.
Yes.
You're going to get cut.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're going to get fired.
Brandon Bostic was the scapegoat on that one.
Exactly.
Because general managers are going to have outs.
Right, because on that spotlight is on you, and it is that, and no matter what anybody says in that locker room, you know it's you in that particular case. In the Hiram case, I disagree because there's just so much baseball that was left to play. There is a lot of error after that happened or before that happened that games were lost that you can't just say, I'm going to hold David Stearns or Craig Counsell accountable for if you don't make the – you're going to hold them accountable anyway if they don't make it, especially probably David Stearns if you believe that he's the one that's pulling all the strings.
But if they don't make it, how much of it do you believe would be because of the Woodruff injury here?
Well, see, now this may have more to do with it than anything else would be this injury to me than what happened with Kesson Hiram.
Can't control the Woodruff injury.
Can't control it.
That happened. You could have controlled Hiram staying up here for another month.
And that's what I'm saying about injuries. But this all goes into it. If you would have asked me the reason why you didn't make it, it wouldn't be because of Hiram. The reason why you didn't make it, if this guy's going to be out for a long period of time.
The Brewers in this situation, and I know this is going to sound like me making it feel better than it is, but in the month of September, or in the month of July, they've gotten better pitching performances from Zach Davies, who's got a .5 ERA, only given up one earned run. And then also Chase Anderson, just over a 2.5 ERA in his starts here in the month of July. Like at this point, and the tweeter brought up the amount of off days they have going into August. At this point in the season, it's probably the safest opportunity for him to miss a 3-4 week span. But if you're going to say that it's going to end the team, I just can't see that because you have more opportunities, more guys that are available than you did before. And Drew Smyly, who was in the organization, gone. Elected free agency, he comes up and pitches with the Philadelphia Phillies over the weekend, goes six innings, one earned run. This is going to probably be the open door maybe that Shelby Miller is looking for if he's trying to start in this organization or if they're looking to have somebody else get that opportunity off a 1 or 2 week run that they've had in the organization.
You are very positive and very upbeat, and you have been all year, and you'll be every other year after this going forward, I'm sure. You and I just share differing opinions on how good this baseball team is and how many holes this baseball team has.
I'm also looking at how mediocre the rest of the division is to win the division.
I understand. But I'm not in this to win the division. I'm in this to try and win a World Series.
But
that's
you can't
what this
win
year,
a World Series if you don't win the division.
I understand. You have dreams of you're going to upset the Dodgers and shock the world. I'm not. I don't
or
share
the Braves
your,
upset the Dodgers. I don't know where this is all coming that it has to be a magic carpet ride.
Nobody's beating the Dodgers. But that's fine, though. I mean, again, that's okay. Fine. I know you get frustrated and mad at me when I say nobody's going to beat the Dodgers because you believe other teams can.
Well,
I don't.
Well,
I
think happened.
They're that great.
I think the talent differential. No, this year's team is better than last year's team.
Okay.
I mean, I just.
And the last four teams that have failed to win the World Series when they played just right. For it.
When was the last time the Brewers were in the World Series? Oh, just checking.
Well, we were talking about the Dodgers.
That's why you have to go
so
back to the playoffs.
But see, that's the thing. And this team is not that good in general already. So now you're talking about, yeah, okay, so you're going to win the worst division in baseball. Congratulations. Now, after you get to that point, now you're going to get in, or you get in on a wild card and have to win a one-game scenario, in which case you push chips in, you lose, and then you turn around and go, next offseason, well, we only traded Terang, and we traded this guy, we traded that guy,
and then
we got
a draft
to a wild card
in
and lost.
June, where you can draft 40 new prospects.
Great. And
which is
nobody
amazing.
Next year is going to care about your 40 new prospects at the trade deadline or in the offseason when you're trying to
next year.
Go for it again.
But they're assets to a business. Every single year, you have assets that come into the business again.
You've watched baseball a long time. If you have a bad farm system and you're limited in prospects and you empty it out, see the Chicago White Sox from several years ago, and you go for it and it doesn't work, and now it comes time to be in a situation to go for it again, and you have nothing anybody else wants in your farm system, you're stuck and you can't do anything about it. You have to go with what you have. For me, I'm not putting myself in the situation next year to go for it this year because I don't think they're there. Last year, I was totally fine with it because I thought they had a chance. I'm just not there. My opinion of this team is not that. Now, the general manager of this team may look at it and go, our best pitcher went down, so what? We're still good enough to win the damn thing, even without him. Let's still push all in and go for it. Maybe that's what he says after he loses his best pitcher. Or maybe he looks at the roster and goes, I was already not certain whether or not we were going to do something based on holes that I think we have. Now we lose the best pitcher, and we don't know how long he's out. So I'm just throwing this out there. Let's say we find out after the MRI tomorrow, whatever, that's going to be 6 weeks. Are they still convinced now that they're close enough? Because now they have another huge hole to fill on top of the other ones that they already had to fill.
Get Woody back. Stay in contention until we get Woody back. That'll be the philosophy, and that's what it should be because we're trying to go to the playoffs back-to-back years for the first time in over 35 seasons. Pella Windows and Doors is always in the playoffs if there would be playoffs and championship games for getting people good deals on windows.
Well, they always.
Every year.
Getting good
they would
deals
be the Patriots
windows.
Of
yeah,
the
well,
window world.
They are, but I want to talk about something other than windows and doors right now. Of course, windows and doors is what Pella's all about.
What do you want to talk about then, Gary?
Don't get me wrong. Well, the Air and Water Show.
Nice.
This
that
Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday.
At Bradford Beach.
Oh, Bradford Beach, right
yeah.
down here in downtown
yeah.
Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And my good friends, Gina Della from Pella, they'll be down there.
From Pella.
Yeah. They'll be down there at Bradford Beach all weekend long, Leroy. If you guys plan on going down there, make sure you give them a big shout out and say hi to them. But they are about windows and doors, no doubt about it. And they are about helping you save money with your windows and doors. We talked about the 0% down and 0% financing until June of 2020. And, folks, if you don't understand that, that's just straight free money for you. So, listen, if you're looking for windows and doors, and if you're not going to Gina Della from Pella Windows and Doors, guys, I'm telling you right now, you're paying too much money. And my good friend Leroy Butler is going to tell you how you can get a hold of these good people at Pella Windows and Doors.
I think they're very easy access, too. I think if you think about some of these companies now, their marketing plan is just terrible. You just don't you can't find them. Then when you find them, you don't get the information that you need. Ultimately, guys won't just know what it costs, really. You want to save money on your cooling bill this summer? Well, it is almost, summer's almost gone. You know, it got about 20 degrees cooler which is, that's Wisconsin.
It's beautiful.
Love that.
It's needed.
Absolutely.
So necessary.
Love that. Go to PellaWI.com today. You can chat with somebody live right now. Go over everything you need. You can give them a phone call, 262-783-6600. I'm talking too fast. 262-783-6600. Tell them Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler sent you.
We'll provide Brandon Woodruff updates all day long. As soon as we know something, you will hear on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. One thing we do know about the Milwaukee Brewers, Keston Hiura, named MLB or NL Player of the Week.
Of the week. That's
hitting
right.
517 in the past week. 517.
That's a lot.
Dude is not
moved
only
him
on,
up to number two. Too.
Guy's not only on a hitting streak, an 11-game hitting streak. He's on like a 5-game multi-hit game streak. So the dude is absolutely producing. He's raking, and you can watch him tonight at Miller Park.
And he's helped them win two series, too, back-to-back.
And after that's you key. Finish the game, you can turn on 105.7 FM The Fan, Baby Shade and Blind postgame show after Sonny Gray and Chase Anderson, Brewers and Reds, out at Miller Park. Keep it right here as Packers training camp opens up this week. Which rookies getting there today being implemented into Matt LaFleur's life are going to have the biggest year? Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. Show on The Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao, Schmidt, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler with you till 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Packer training camp, first day on the field for the entire crew will be Thursday. Their first day in pads will be on Friday. Gary Ellerson, all the young rookies are getting to St. Norbert College today for their first day as a pro football player in training camp. This is different than any other orientation that you're getting, any other camp invite, the rookie camp, mini camp. This is the big kahuna that those dudes are having for the first time.
Right. And, you know, Leroy and I did, what did we do today, Leroy? We did our Spectrum News 1 hit today.
Well, Spectrum News 1.
So we're starting that back up again. We talked a little bit about this particular subject. And, you know, back when I played with Forrest Gregg, you had the rookies always came in at 2 or 3 days earlier. And I thought it was very, very beneficial just to get update. You know, it's just so much information. And so the coaches get that kind of almost one-on-one time with you, make sure, because you kind of know some of the plays, but it's like a refresher. Because when Aaron Rodgers is coming in, he's already audibling, because you better know where to go.
So this is like a little bit of a, let me see what you've been studying for the last 6 weeks.
Right, or a refresher, let's get it going again.
Right.
And it kind of just wakes everything up. Clear out the cobwebs in your brain. And then questions, you better ask the questions right now, because once the veterans come in, it's time to go. And for the Green Bay Packers, though, a lot of guys are kind of on the same level in that how much of the playbook do they really know. But some of these guys have been in the league for 7, 6, 5 years. Some of the stuff can be same, or it can be similar where you can relate. But 9 times out of 10, if you're coming from college to the pro game, it's totally different. For example, when I first came in, all my years growing up, I was always left and even was always right in the numbering tree for a running back.
Yep.
So if it was 38, that means we were going right. No, if it was 42, if it was 39, we're going left. Well, when I got to Green Bay, 42 was left.
No, 42 is your number.
Well, yeah, that too. But the play 42 was to my left. The play 45 was to my right. So the numbering system changed with odd and even. So you kind of have to get used, because just think, if you've been playing Pop Warner all your life, and it's been that, now all of a sudden you got to start changing the number tree should be similar, but there's still routes that are not almost the same or not the same. Depth are not. So I think it's good for the rookies to come in a couple, two, 3 days early to get them acquainted to what they're trying to do there.
Leroy, how big do you think it is right now that the Packers rookies and the class that consists of two first-round picks, dudes that are expected to perform this year, they get the couple of days in here before all the other guys fill in today up at training camp?
Well, it's the first day to being a grown man because you don't have your parents there to oversee. I mean, you did go from dorm to dorm. The last time you were at a dorm, you went to another one. And I think they keep that so you can stay acclimated. But at the same time, it's a benefit to it because the veterans, some of the veterans and most of them, they're still learning a new offense and defense too. But this gives you a way to kind of know what your role is. Because they'll give it to you tonight when they have a team meeting. Everybody's there. And you'll kind of know. If the coach kind of whispers to you, like he'll probably do the Savage, when everybody, you know, you're going to probably be at the front of the line. Act like it.
Mm-hmm.
Get up there. Be ready to go. Let the younger guys, the undrafted free agents, let them see these kind of things. Be on time to meetings. You know, don't
sit
be walking
in the front
around
of the room.
With your
Is
pants.
That a thing?
Well, I don't
Who
know.
Sits in the front of the meeting room tonight as it's just
see,
a rookie?
I don't think the classroom is like a traditional classroom. Like,
sure. Yeah, yeah.
Sitting in the front means you want to learn. In the back, you're a knucklehead.
Mm-hmm.
That, because he's a grown man now. I mean, you basically, you pick a seat. Me personally, I want to sit by the guy that I was more familiar with. But I was a 3-day holdout. Wasn't my fault. So the rookies were already there. So when I got to the room, I'm like, where do I sit? So I just sat in the first open seat and just kind of introduced myself or whatever. But I think that's a very good question. Where do you sit? I don't think it's assigned seating because you're a first-round pick. But where would most guys like to sit in an environment that's new to you? And that's with any company.
No doubt. But
where
I was,
would you want to be?
As I was scratching the football itch yesterday, getting ready for the training camp season
that's
to start
disgusting,
this
but,
week.
Yeah, go ahead.
I scratch it pretty much every day. I need some kind of football fix every single day. Started watching the All or Nothing thing on the Carolina Panthers that Amazon Prime had last year.
Yep.
And as it might be different, still like I remembered the traditional meeting room, it was the quarterback and running back, Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, sitting dead center front row, right there ready to maybe set the tempo, if that's what it is, if anybody needs that to be set here. For this rookie class,
well, sometimes you do get that, though.
You do still get that?
Yeah.
Middle linebacker sitting in the front of the room.
Yeah.
And
on but some teams.
But it's just the natural leaders, right?
Right.
I mean, certain guys aren't going to want to be the leader. Don't want nothing to do with it. They may be the first-round pick, but that's not what I do.
Mm-hmm. Man, but that's not saying that the guy that's sitting in the back is not engaged.
Right, true. Not paying attention, not engaged, doesn't know what's going on, is going to have a bad
year.
Making
a lot of money.
If you're going to go to sleep, sit in the back. Put it that way.
That's not exactly true either, because I played with a bunch of jokers that sat in the front and went to sleep.
Yeah, see, that's
with
just
that
crazy.
Towel over their head.
How'd they get away with that?
Well, in the church, the pastor put this light on you if you sleep up front. Pastor. So you sit in the back. Pastor.
Yeah,
the pastor put your name on the board.
Right in front. They don't care.
That could not have gone well under Forrest, Greg.
Huh?
Nah, but
huh?
Just keep your finger on it.
Could not have went well under Forrest, Greg.
Let me just get some coffee. All right. It happens, you know.
Sometimes it is a results-driven industry.
Sure.
Okay.
If you're a Pro Bowler, you can probably nod off.
You're getting the results.
If you rookie of the year, you can nod off.
Yeah, you got like string up like 4, 5, 6 Pro Bowls.
I'll set you an alarm.
All pros.
Okay.
You might be able to nod off a little bit in the front.
Sean Kaiser can't fall asleep.
Not the Sean Kaiser. Or Boyle.
Or Boyle. No.
No.
Let me get that playbook, no. Cuz.
Well, and also maybe Josh Jones better not want to fall asleep
now,
in
he
the offseason.
Specifically
he
better not want to fall
he
asleep.
He better not want to fall asleep. Mm-mm. Who out of this rookie class is going to be the dude that might be able to doze off in next year's meeting? Who out of this Packers rookie class do you think will be the standout of the 2019 rookie class? 414-799-1250. Ask our 2-4 Packers and Sparky next on The Fan.
Whoever gives me my list, I still look at everybody anyways. I think it's a good way to judge what's out there, right? If I just look at the 10 guys they give me, going in that, I knew we had a chance. You know, I honestly didn't think he was going to go at 12. I thought he was going to go way before then, right? How I evaluated, looked at him. you know, and I'll throw it out there. I thought he was the best in the league, or the best in college football as outside linebacker. I had him number one, right, because I believe in that, and I believe in him. So I was very excited when we got him. I was running down the hallway, you know. So I know what he has, and I know what he can do. It's unbelievable.
That's Packers outside linebacker coach Mike Smith talking about their number one overall pick, 12th overall in the draft.
Kyle Fackrell?
No, Rashawn Gary, who he believed was the top outside linebacker pass rusher in the draft that the Packers got him this year at number 12. 414-799-1250. Which
Packer the word believe.
Do you think you will see as the standout here in this class? Yeah, he just said it right there.
He didn't say the word believe.
He said he was running down the hallway celebrating because he believed he would go way higher than that.
So he didn't base that on production.
Do you want me to play it again?
Yeah, play it one more time.
This is Packer outside linebacker coach.
I always try to look into stuff.
Mike Smith.
Whoever gives me that list, I still look at everybody anyways, because I think it's a good way to judge what's out there, right? If I just look at the 10 guys they give me, going in that, I know we had a chance. You know, I honestly didn't think he was going to go at 12. I thought he was going to go way before then, right? How I evaluated, looked at him, you know? And I'll throw it out there. I thought he was the best in the league, or the best in college football as outside linebacker. I had him number one. Right, because I believe in that, and I believe in him. And so I was very excited when we got him. I was running down the hallway, you know. So I know what he has, and I know what he can do. It's unbelievable.
Those are strong words from your new outside linebacker coach who thought that he was comparable to Dee Ford and Justin Houston that he had in Kansas City.
So you would have said he's better than Bosa?
That's what it would say, yeah, that he had him better than Nick Bosa. That's got to give you some.
Nick Bosa hurt too now.
Always. Always hurt. But he got the pedigree. That leapfrogged that.
The pedigree of playing four games at Ohio State and then not playing the rest of the year?
No, his dad and his brother played.
Don't matter. Mm-hmm. Just saying, he hurt too.
So, but
his brother's hurt too.
Right.
Both of them. Yeah, the one at Ohio State and the one out in L.A. is hurt. So there's
he got drafted on potential. What's wrong with Gary getting drafted on potential?
I see where Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is on the PUP list, ain't he?
He's sitting on the pup list right now for the Bears right now. Who out of here, Leroy, out of the 12 guys they drafted this May, do you believe will be the standout of this class?
The word believe again. I'm going to change it to hope.
Who do you hope will be the standout of
Savage,
this class?
Savage, man. You got to hope Savage. Yeah. How many interceptions? Seven interceptions? Eight?
Seven interceptions, tied for second to last in pro football.
That's embarrassing. I mean, you got – if he's a player, your defense is going to look so much better because you're going to get more hands on the football. You're going to see takeaways and turnovers. Turnover, to me, is if two people tip it and you're just running over there and it just come to you. A takeaway is when a guy looks open to a quarterback and I just run right up under that thing and take it all the way back. That's what Savage is going to do. He's going to take some chances.
That's what one of the greats Charles Woodson did in the Packer uniform.
Yes. But see, Woodson is do what I say, not what I do. Because Woodson looks at hip movement, your front foot upfield. That means, stop and go, all that. They can't do all that. They ain't to that level. But – believe what you see. So that's why it was some news that every now and then they got to play action over the top of him. Hey, I believe it. I see it. Coaches are okay with that. If he's a legitimate starter and he plays well, your defense is going to be outstanding.
Sparky, who do you believe is going to be the standout of this rookie class?
Well, I'm with Roy. I hope it's Darnell Savage. But I just got a sneaking suspicion it's going to be Jenkins, the guard from Mississippi State, that's going to end up being the guy in this class that we're going to be talking about for 10 years. That's
at
going to
what
be on
positions,
that, that offense? I don't know. Guard tackle.
Guard tackle, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's too big to play center, I think. So,
yeah.
I mean, right now, in a perfect world, I'd love to see him start at right guard right next to Bulaga. And then if something happens to Bulaga, he just slides over to tackle, and we'll see what happens once we get to
they
that point.
They're going to use Turner for that. Probably.
Yeah, and Turner's that hybrid veteran journeyman type guy that can swing across the offensive line and play wherever
Aaron Rodgers appears to really, really dig right now.
Which is fine.
That's his guy.
Yep, so I hope it's Savage. I'm with Leroy. I don't know. It's got a gut feeling. It's probably going to be Jenkins when we're talking about this class 10 years from now.
I'm excited.
As a dude that played offensive line, usually you don't hear guard and standout used in the same sentence, Gary. So who do you believe will be the standout of this rookie class right now for the Green Bay Packers?
I think it's going to be Gary. I mean, I really do. I think he's going to be given every opportunity to be that guy. I think there won't be a lot of pressure on him because he doesn't have to come in and be the starter right now. He's going to be in sub packages. He should have the perfect matchup. He should be singled every single time somewhere, because you got the two Smith is going to be your starting outside backer. I think in sub package, one of Smith is going to bounce down. He'll come in. Then you're going to have Kyle Fackrell there too, another guy that had 10 and a half sacks last year. Basically, Gary is your fourth guy.
In a form of a NASCAR package where you got four pass rushers online.
He should get the best matchups out of the four linebackers that are going to be on the field.
Which is something that he never saw at Michigan. You can talk about the production issues.
Him. Everything slid to him, and he covered. Who was the linebacker from Michigan?
Winovich. Went to the Patriots.
Him. Well, no. They had inside backer.
Devin Bush.
Bush was covered up by this guy, Gary. That's why Bush had all those sacks. I mean, had all those tackles in there was because of him. So I really do think it's going to be Gary.
How many you talk about sub packages and stuff like that? He's going to have a slower workload than a lot of people are going to want, right? You would expect.
What do you mean?
Play snaps.
Today's game.
A lower usage rate, I guess, is the better way to put it.
Today's game is about what? It's about sub packages.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Green Bay Packers, you know, if you go back to 6, 7, 8 years ago when they had Charles Woodson, they were never really in 3-4. I mean,
you weren't in base either.
They start. Now it came on the radio one year. We were up at the game, and in introductions for the defense, their starting introduction was like 13 guys that they introduced to be starters, because they were really never in a base 3-4. They were always in sub package. So they counted most of those guys as starters. Now I don't know if they got paid starter money, right?
Because normally might have something to do with it.
Huh?
Might have something to do with it.
Yeah, normally you get a boost on that, but but they were announcing coming out of the tunnel 13 guys.
And if Jarrett Bush found his way in there, you knew that they were announcing the dime package.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. But what they did was they introduced them all at the same time.
Sure, and flood them all out because you never know exactly where you're going to be.
They never know where they were going to start.
Depending on where they're going to align.
Right, so if they were playing one team, the game started, it may flip and change. Hey, let's go, Bush, you're in. And he may not have been the starter, but that, in that formation, let's go, bro.
That's what Jason's going to say when you tell him, hey, man, I want a new outdoor oasis.
Well, he's a starter, always. Bro. He ain't first off the bench.
He's the last dude out in introductions, where like they wrap it all up behind him.
He's like right. Mariano Rivera.
Right.
Yeah, closer.
He said, I'm always closing. Why do I always got to go last?
My good friend Jason over at J&J Contracts. Guys, you're looking to remodel your house. No better place to call is Jason at J&J Contracts. Guys, you're looking for more room in your house. If you're looking to remodel your kitchen, add on to your bathroom. Guys, add it up. Listen, if you have a dream for your home, my good friends at J&J Contracts can help you make your dream come true. They'll sit down with you. They'll draw it all out. We'll figure it all out together. How to make, because a lot of people right now these days, you're in your house is paid for, you don't want to move, you like Jim and Kathy next door, and your kids grew up all together, you want to stay in your place, and you love the neighborhood. Well, listen, what a better way to add it onto your house, or just add some livable space onto your house. If you're going to do that, guys, call my good friends at J&J Contractors, and that's for Jason.
This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can catch us live this week. Thursday, we'll be out at the Racine County Fair. Friday, we're at the Miller Brewery Tour location, where you can stop by, get a tour, hang out with the Big Show, and drink some beer. What's better than that? Wendy's Big Show on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.